Den Kerzen des Landes, das Mausen nicht, die Jungen bleiben vorbildlich.
Welcome to another episode of Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. You are listening to Johann Sebastian Bach's Coffee Cantata. Well, if Bach wrote a musical piece about coffee, then I guess that means it's mocha latte time. You'll be traveling all over the place as you get to go flying down the highway in the Flying Dutchman and visit the Lebanon Farmers Market, as well as find out who won the coffee bet with my dad. Also the coffee scenes from Tulsa, Oklahoma and Atlanta, Georgia, as well as new music from Mad Dog, all coming up next. Welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. This is your host, Circus Boy Nathan, coming to you from the Flying Dutchman RV. This is my podcast where every week I bring you the coffee scenes from the road on the circus. The circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee, and I also bring you really cool interviews with really cool people. Or maybe it's coffee interviews with really cool people. There you go. So, yeah, it's... as you probably gathered from the first 10 seconds here, it's usually unscripted, unedited. I just kind of, whatever I say, if it makes me sound like a seagull going berserk, I put it up there on the podcast. So this week, you are right here with me in the Flying Dutchman. I am hurtling as I speak. I'm hurtling down the highway. That's right. I'm on my way from Atlanta, Georgia, all the way out to Phoenix, Arizona, and yeah, it's quite the long trip. Last time I talked to you, I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, and as you know, I'm always moving, always traveling, of course, tasting coffee along the way, and yeah, we spent the rest of that week in Little Rock, and then we played Duluth, Georgia, and oh man, that Duluth, Georgia was great. It's north of Atlanta, maybe about 20, 30 minutes, and it was a lot of fun. I got to catch up with some friends in Atlanta, got to try some amazing coffee. You'll hear about that a little later. And also, had a special, special treat. It's one of those things, you know, where the planets align or something like that. Counterculture Coffee, as I've mentioned a couple times on the podcast, they're from Raleigh-Durham. And they were sponsoring, I think, a 4 or 5 city tour of, well, basically, they brought the farmers from one of their premier coffees. They brought the farmers to the States to see where these farmers' coffee is from. They're from Marcala, Honduras. And the coffee is the Finca El Puente. And the farmers were the Caballeros farmers. And it just so happens the week that I was in Duluth, Counterculture has a training center right there in Atlanta, and they were having the Caballeros come to their training center in Atlanta. So it was amazing, amazing time. I went out there, I think it was a Wednesday night, I believe, and just really great time. They had Counterculture had set up hors d'oeuvres, some snacks, food, burrito type stuff, and just a great time. Got to meet the farmers, hear all about the farm, how they got started, the history, how they were in the Cup of Excellence there in Honduras, and just all of that. So really, really great stuff, and really good time. Got a free pound of coffee and a free t-shirt. So a lot of really, really good stuff. So I want to send a thank you to Counterculture for hosting that, and it was open to the public, really. So anybody in Atlanta could come, and there were about, I'd say, maybe 20, 25 people there. Really good showing, and just, I don't know, really, really exciting stuff to see, you know, to meet the farmers in person and then drink their coffee. And I got my first taste from a Clover coffee machine. If you don't know what a Clover coffee machine is, go to Google and type in Clover coffee, and yeah, it's good stuff. So I got to try some of that, the Finca El Puente, on their Clover that they have there at the Counterculture Training Center. So really, that was the highlight of my week. Really great week. So anyways, we played Duluth, Georgia, finished up there, and now we have a few weeks break, and I just spent most of this week in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which I'll talk about a little bit later in the podcast. I had some reviews and went up to Owosso there. And then now I'm continuing on my journey. I had to get the Flying Dutchman, one of the wings of the Flying Dutchman broke down, so spending some time actually getting it fixed there. But now I am on my way out towards Phoenix, Arizona, and then I got a big motorcycle trip planned before we open in Phoenix. So currently I am, as I said, outside Amarillo, Texas. I've been driving for about 8 hours, probably got another maybe 4 or 5 to go yet. But I'm just about to pull over for dinner here. If any of you have ever been on Route 40 traveling west or east for that matter, I'm sure you've seen signs for the Big Texan. That's right. They advertise a free 72-ounce steak. And as they say, everything is bigger in Texas. And I guess I'd say that's true, because right now I'm looking out in front of me. I'm flying down the highways, 65 mile an hour, in the Flying Dutchman. I'm looking to either side. Beautiful. The sun is just poking out behind some storm clouds right now, and I had a little bit of rain today, but pretty mostly good driving weather for the most part. I was afraid we might get a funnel cloud there in Oklahoma earlier today, but yeah, just beautiful. I can see probably for, I'd say, maybe a good 20-30 miles. Well, I wouldn't say that far. Maybe a good 15 or 20 miles out over the landscape. And just it really, you know, one thing I noticed, when you can see that far, it's a different feeling than the East Coast, you know, because in the East Coast everything is close together. But out here, after you hit, I'd say probably Arkansas, and things start to spread out, and the land gets more flat, and you can see farther, and it's really, I don't know, it's a really different driving experience. Much more, gives you more time to think, I guess, and kind of contemplate your place in the universe, you could say. But anyhow, yeah, I'm about to grab dinner. Free 72-ounce steak. And you're probably saying, Nathan, how the heck do you get a free 72-ounce steak? I'm looking at that sign right now. Horse Hotel and Gift Shop, exit now. That's what I'm going to do, Mr. Cowboy Man. On the, yeah, 72-ounce steak. They have this contest. Well, I don't know if it's a contest. Okay, they have this kind of like, I don't know, I'm sure, okay, I'm getting ready to exit the Big Texan Steak Ranch. That's right, that's where I'm going. I'm hungry. If you can eat a 72-ounce steak in 1 hour, they give you an hour, that's your time limit. If you can eat, gotta check my mirrors here so I don't, whoa, I think that's where I should have parked right there. Whoops. Oh dear, now I'm gonna have to get turned around. I shouldn't be doing podcasting and trying to seek out my 72-ounce steak at the same time. If you can eat a 70, okay, back to what I was saying, if you can eat a 72-ounce steak in 1 hour, then it's free. But mind you, a 72-ounce steak, I saw a guy, when we played Amarillo a few months back, some of the guys from the circus, from the show, a couple of us musicians, we thought we'd give this place a room. And we're like, all right, what's this 72-ounce steak thing about? And sure enough, we got there, and a guy from Philly with the Eagles shirt on, they have a little platform, and you walk in, and everything's decked out in Western, like, you know, the wagon, big moose heads and bison heads, you know, the stuffed game, I guess, that people have shot over the years, is lining the wall, and typical, I guess everything's stereotypical that you would imagine about Texas. And so we walk in, and kind of touristy, and sure enough, there's a guy from Philly, and the platform, and he sits up on the platform, and they make this big announcement to everybody eating in the whole place. And they say, this is so-and-so from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and they mention the rules. You use 1 hour to eat a 72-ounce steak. If you can eat it in 1 hour, it's free. If you can't, then he has to pay for the steak. And then they say, go, and they have this big timer behind his table, behind his head. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So I just missed my turnoff, so I'm actually driving right now, getting turned around on these Texas roads. And I'm on my way to eat a 72-ounce steak. So while I go enjoy dinner, I'm going to leave you off with a segment that I recorded a few weeks back. As you remember, and about three or four podcasts ago, I made a bet with my dad, and we made a coffee bet, actually. And if you don't know what the bet was about or what we made the bet about or what the stakes were, stakes, yeah, sorry. Bad joke. Go back and check that out. Maybe you want to go back and listen to that right now before you listen to this part of the segment. So you'll see if I had to pay up or if my dad had to pay up. And we took a trip to the Lebanon Farmers Market. That's where my parents are. And so one of us has to pay up. Either my dad has to divvy out or I do. And we took a trip to the farmers market. And so the next segment I kind of did... kind of took you along with the microphone. We started out in the car and walked. You'll hear the sounds and just kind of picture yourself right there along with my dad and I as we walked through the farmer's market. You'll hear people selling their food, talking about just the local happenings in town. And yeah, so a lot of fun. So just imagine you're there. We talk about coffee. We run into some interesting people. We try some food's a good time. So I'm going to leave you with that while I go enjoy my steak dinner. I think I may get a T-bone. I'm kind of having a hankering for a T-bone steak. And yeah, check that out. And then I'll come back with the coffee scenes and finish up the podcast for this week. So enjoy. Okay, so we're en route to my coffee place of choice because what happened with... Don't hit the runner, Dad.
It's actually Sarah.
Oh, okay. Hey, runner, Sarah.
Sarah Rice.
So who won the coffee bet, Dad?
I'm not sure. What was the exact number of cups again?
Watch out for... if you remember from a couple episodes back, we agreed that how many cups of coffee per day people drink, and we decided on 1 to 3 cups a day, 4 to 7, or 8 or more. And what was your bet, Dad?
I think I was sure that they would at least drink 4 to 7.
At least 4 to 7, right? Yeah. And so I took the other one, the 1 to 3, and I wagered that if Dad won, then he would I'd buy him a pound of Kona coffee and a coffee grinder. And if I won,
if you won, I can't remember what I agreed to. You're gonna have to refresh my memory, son.
Oh, I see how it is. Selective memory, huh?
Well, you know, people have you know, I just don't recall.
I see. What a beautiful day outside it is. no, you said that you would will me the house if I won.
I never would agree to that.
Okay, well, so I see your memory's coming back quite quickly, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I got 4 kids, and to give you the house, the other kids would be, you know, we have lawsuits or something. I don't know.
But, you know, firstborns get the right? The birthright?
Yeah, they got double the portion of the others, but that's more than double.
All right. Well, so we're heading into the Lebanon Farmers Market, which is in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you come here and visit, don't say Lebanon, because that's a country in the Middle East. You say Lebanon. If you say Lebanon, they know you're not from here. So, and don't say Lancaster, it's Lancaster. in Pennsylvania. So, anyways, we're at the farmer's market, and Crave Coffee and Gelato has a stand there at the farmer's market, and that's where we're going to get coffee today.
Oh, boy, I bet I've got to buy you a pint or a quart or a gallon of this stuff, right?
No, because, see, lucky for you, coffee goes bad quite quickly, so it's a very, you know...
Oh, thank the Lord for small favors.
Right, right. Yeah, maybe we'll get some gelato, too. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. So we're on our way to Lebanon Farmers Market, and Dad's driving 10 miles an hour under the speed limit. Actually, no, wait. You're driving over the speed limit.
Yeah, I'm driving over the speed limit.
Wow.
25 through here.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've got my seatbelt buckled and my fingers crossed, and we'll come back at the farmer's market.
It sounds good.
Towards the farmer's market, and how would you describe the building, Dad? It's an old, brick storage building from the 1800s that restored?
I guess they've obviously done work on the brick, probably sandblasted or something,
yeah,
to make the brick look virtually new almost.
Yeah.
And redid the windows, they put new window applications on, and new entrance here and stuff, so it looks pretty nice.
They got a color scheme. It's kind of like the red painted steel kind of thing. So, yeah. Let's go get some coffee.
Amen.
Explosion of color and food.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. You don't have to yell. It'll pick you up.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, cool. Well, let's see. So right in front of us, we have, great looking pretzels and hot dog.
One of the town's leading attorneys.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, just went out the door.
I should have shook his hand. Maybe I could use his legal services in the future.
You should.
When I get in trouble for coffee things. So, okay. Well, let's, I guess to try to describe it for people, it's a very big, you have steel pillars that go up to a big kind of round skylight area, and there's wood, like almost looks like a teak wood, all over the ceiling, surrounding the top of the ceiling with a bright red painted wrought iron, and then a cement floor.
Yeah, as you look at the whole thing here, they're all different colors of wood tones.
Right.
Because they've done all the interior stuff in wood, other than the steel structure is painted in bright red.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's walk.
All right.
To get some coffee. Some good looking chicken. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Gotta keep up, Dad. I'm ahead of you.
Yeah, it's all right.
You're getting old.
I know. I can't go very fast. Yeah.
Okay, so are you going to get coffee as well?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
Because my question is, are we getting anything else to go with it? I mean,
do you want to get food or pastry?
Can you buy, okay, I guess do that.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So, hey, how's this going? Don't mind the microphone, we're recording for a podcast, so. Have you heard a podcast before or no? Oh, it's like an internet radio kind of show, so, yeah. So he lost a bet, my dad, and he owes me coffee now, so that's why we're here.
Yeah.
He's very sad about it. Cool.
Yeah, Crave has been on one of his podcasts. We went over to the one in Wilmersdorf.
Yeah.
on the main, which is the main Corey and Peter.
I had Corey on the podcast, yeah. But yeah. Cool. All right, well, let's order some coffee, Dan. I'm going to get, I think I'm going to go with a double espresso this morning. W. And what are you in the mood for, Dan? We have a beautiful La Marzocco two-station.
What?
I'm talking about the espresso machine that we have here.
Okay.
And, it's great. They have their little sign like in Wilmelsdorf. What are you going to get, Dan?
I haven't decided yet. I'm still looking.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Thank you. So, what's your name for the podcast?
Kyle?
Yeah. Okay, cool. We've got Kyle making espresso, and then my dad is trying to decide on...
In the regular coffee, is that a 145 or 215?
That's a
1. I'll take that size.
Okay.
Yeah, whipped cream.
You going to get regular coffee?
So do you add something to that, or is that how you drink it?
Well, if it's done right, that's how you drink it.
I'm obviously not a connoisseur of these things.
But...
Huh?
The cream is right around the corner.
Oh, all right.
All right.
All right.
Cool.
339.
All right.
339. That's a real big investment on your part, Dad.
I know. It's really... I'm embarrassed, actually. You could have gotten more. It's right
really?
Here. Yeah.
Is it too late? What's the...
It's not too late.
Well, shall we get... I'll have to get some gelato, perhaps.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
You want to find a table?
Well,
sit down.
Half and half, non-fat. Shoot. And they got whole milk. We're going non-fat today.
The shot doesn't look too good. That's way too much coffee for a double shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, I know how to make it.
Yeah.
A double shot of what?
Espresso.
What is espresso?
Espresso?
Yeah.
Espresso is finely ground coffee.
Yeah.
That's pulled under 9 bar pressure, 200 degree water, with about... between 23 to 28 seconds. Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
It's a espresso. It was Italian, you know, quickly. It was a quick way of brewing coffee.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but in this case, this espresso, I don't think is quite cutting it.
All right.
It's a shame.
That is a shame.
Yeah. Do you want to go sit down?
sure. Maybe something else we need to get to go with this.
But, oh, like some food?
Oh, maybe get a bagel or something.
Bagel sounds good. Amish family recipes.
Yeah.
They have a Dutch apple spread.
What is that?
Huh?
What is Dutch apple spread?
I don't know. Ask her.
Right. So what does that mean, Dutch apple
spread? Our Dutch apple jam.
Okay. Can you go? Sure.
Sounds good.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
Go.
Oh, I thought you were going to give us one.
Thank you.
What do you mean, give me one?
We're going to buy a bagel with the spread on.
Oh, I just wanted you to make sure you like the spread.
It's very good.
Okay, what bagel
do you have a whole week?
Yeah, honey.
That works.
I'll do a cinnamon crunch.
Yeah, the whole. Yeah, like that.
Where do we put these? Trash can?
I don't know.
It was an innocent joke last night. We'll try it. It's bad.
Watch me eat a donut.
I'm gonna have this silly grin on my face all day.
Is that together?
Yes. Yeah.
He's splurging now. $3.40.
All right, that's not a problem.
All right.
Hey, the bagels are about the same price as the coffee.
Yeah.
What's the coffee? $3.43.
Which is kind of sad because the coffee is not that good, unfortunately, today.
We're actually doing.
Well, I should say the espresso. I didn't taste your coffee. Can I taste your coffee?
Let's find a seat.
Oh, okay, and then we can taste it. Right. They're toasting them, I think.
Oh, they're toasting?
Yeah.
That's cool.
They don't fool around at the Lebanon Farmers Market.
I see, they do it right.
That's right, that's right. This is the place to see and be seen, right? That's the...
Hey, it is.
That's what they said on the radio.
The race is really hopping.
for Lipton and Connie.
Nah, it doesn't get much busier than this.
All right. This place, we're at a little bagel shop here. We're at a counter where they have three or four different, they have seven or eight different kinds of bagels. And they make like smoothies, and the spread of the day is Dutch apple. They have a little glass box. They also have a counter with jams and jellies of all
and
sorts of
a lot of Amish family recipes.
It's not Amish, Amish, yes. Family recipes with jams and jellies. And this place is called Bohemia Bagel, is the name of the place. You could get an egg on your bagel.
You're right, I could. Well, not with that, not other stuff, I'm not getting an egg. The thing that's it's cool about this. No, we're going to eat them here, so just put them on a plate.
Yeah, that'd be good. Plates are good.
I was gonna say, I think what's cool about this place is you got so many different things in such a small area.
Yeah, a variety.
Yeah, a lot of variety.
For this area, it's a lot of variety.
Yeah.
For this area of Pennsylvania.
So, I don't know how many vendors are in here, but there must be, I'm thinking 20-25 vendors in this building.
Really?
Yeah. I guess so, if you start counting them.
Okay.
There's probably about half a dozen out there.
No. Yeah, I mean, there are times you probably should have had.
I bet there are.
Now, let's be honest. Yeah, there's actually two levels here. There's an upstairs. There's two levels here, upstairs and downstairs.
Yeah.
Break the sign. All right, let's
see.
So we park our head up there, first box down.
Yeah, I think that'll be good. All right, so we got our bagels and our coffee. Can I taste your coffee?
Yeah. You've been dying to taste my coffee for the last 2 minutes. Five minutes.
Did you put cream in it?
Oh, I did put some cream in.
Oh, okay.
But it's actually non-fat.
Not.
They had three options. They had half and half, they had whole milk, they had non-fat, and they had, I don't know, maybe real cream.
Okay. What kind is it? Is that their house blend?
Yeah, it's their house.
Okay.
The fair trade.
Yeah.
Not fair trade. It's what's it called?
Organic?
No. What? We have counterculture coffee, right?
Yeah, counterculture coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that different than fair trade?
Counterculture is a company. Fair trade's a label. A label.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. Cool. Well, we're going to dig into our bagels here. So I got the cinnamon crunch bagel with the Dutch apple thing, and Dad got the, what'd you get, the messy one?
We wait till you start eating yours.
So
the deal is, they put cream cheese on this, and the bagel has been toasted, so it's melting the cream cheese.
Yeah, it looks really gooey.
It's running out of everything.
Yeah, really gooey, decadent, crunchy texture on the bagel, and gooey, yeah. All right, I got to try this.
Once you put your bagel, I mean, once you start eating, you can't put it down because look at my plate. I got no place to lay my bagel. It's very good.
Wow. It's messy.
I was wondering if they put that in a bag. I guess if it landed flat, it'd be all right. Then on the side, all the stuff would run out until you get home. Huh? Whoa.
Tasty.
Huh?
That's very good.
What was that called? Apple?
Dutch apple.
Yeah. Dutch apple cream cheese?
All right, so we're here after our trip to the Lebanon Farmers Market, and we're gonna do the wrap up. So as I said earlier, Dad lost the coffee bet, and he predicted that who would win?
Well, I guess the category of the 4-7 cup people would win. I was sure of that. Now, I'm not sure what to think. Now, Nate said there were 22 responses, and I told him that that isn't statistically significant. You got to have at least a minimum of 50, maybe 100, to have a true survey of, you know. So I'm not sure, but, you know, I did buy him whatever he wanted this morning for his breakfast and espresso and everything like that. And so I can't give him the house. But.
So okay, so he was a graceful loser. You have to admit it, you lost. Yes, because it was 28. We had 28. The final numbers were 22 responses, and out of those 22, 59% was between 1 to 3 cups a day, and we said shots of espresso. One shot of espresso counts for one cup of coffee. And then 59% was for the 1 to 3, and then 41% was the 4 to 7 cups per day. Yeah. That was Dad. So you only got 41%, and I got 59%. And all the electoral precincts have spoken.
Yeah, right.
No hanging chads.
I guess what this proves is I thought people who drank coffee were pretty much addicts, just in a different kind of way. Now it turns out maybe they're more like connoisseurs, and they really aren't addicted. They just enjoy that, you know, on occasion.
Yeah. Maybe we should go into like working class America, like the cubicle groundhog network, you know, the cubicle heaven, and talk to those people and see how many they drink a day.
Are you talking about people that are in office buildings?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, if you could limit the survey to that group of people, they probably drink more coffee than, you know, I don't know.
Then you could win. You could win something.
Well, yeah, that'd be nice.
So, all right. Well, thank you for being a good sport, and we'll have to bet on something else in the future, like
yeah, right.
Like maybe how far you can throw a portafilter, like what the range of a portafilter.
Yeah, right, right. I don't even know what a portafilter is, but.
Well, I guess that might not work. That's the little handle thing on the espresso machine.
I just you know, is it something like the you know, the discus and the Olympics?
No. Although I think the throwing the portafilter should be a new event at the World Barista Championships next year, for sure.
Right. Okay.
All right. So, from the car of my dad's car, post Lebanon Farmers Market, this is Nathan, and
this is, how shall I say, humbled And in graceful defeat, Dad.
Okay, signing off. Adios. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that. We had a lot of fun in that. So the steak was good. I'm now here much later recording, but the steak was indeed tasty. Everything, the Big Texan there in Amarillo lived up to everything they advertised. So it was a really, really good experience. Dare I say, the taste of that steak, it haunts me. It lingers, shall we say. All right, now get on. So the coffee scenes, I'm going to give you the ones for Atlanta, Georgia, and Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, as I mentioned, when we were in Duluth, Georgia, which is right near the, north of Atlanta there, about, I'd say, maybe 40 minutes, 30, 40 minutes. And I didn't get to visit too many places because it was a quick, I believe it was a split week, so it was a real quick visit. But I did get to two places, and one of them was, in fact, in Duluth, and that was Forenza Coffee, and the other one was in Atlanta, Georgia. So the first one in Duluth, Forenza Coffee, it's a little coffee place there in a strip mall. Very interesting decor, you know, art and so forth. I wrote here, this drink had potential, but missed out. Pretty decent foam, no latte art, espresso tasted burnt and slightly bitter chocolate, but it was decent. Definitely better than the Bucks, i.e. Star, well, you know that coffee place. So 3.8 beans on that one. Next up is Octane Coffee, and Octane Coffee is right there in Atlanta, Georgia, right near the Counterculture Training Facility. Excellent, excellent coffee. I have to say it was... probably one of the creamiest milk foam textures that I've ever had in a mocha latte. So they're really doing awesome, awesome stuff there. Great baristas. Got to meet some of them at the Counterculture, the tasting there with the farmers. So just a lot of great stuff going on there at Octane Coffee. Now, I wrote about the drink here. I wrote, wow, in a word. The texture of this drink blew me away. It's by far the creamiest mocha latte I've ever tasted. I guess I just said that. Even though it came across as a little milky in the balance, I would have liked, better chocolate, as in better quality. Would drink again, but in an in-house cup, please. They served it in a paper or cardboard paper cup, which always affects the flavor. So I gave it 4.7 beans on that. 4.7 beans. All right, and that wraps it up for Atlanta. Next up is Tulsa. Now, I have to preface Tulsa by saying it's a kind of an enigma in coffee cities throughout the U.S. I mean, you know, you have on the East Coast, you have Philadelphia, New York, Atlanta is growing, Chapel Hill, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, that area. And that's, you know, as far as the East Coast, that pretty much is it. As far as Cleveland, I don't know anything. Then you start heading farther west, and you have Chicago, which there's the home of Intelligentsia, a lot going on there. And then after that, heading west, I mean, you really don't have too much. You know, you have Kansas City. There's a lot going on there with PTs and the roastery. And then it kind of in the middle of nowhere, you have Tulsa. And Tulsa, I don't know if you'd say per capita, but it has more coffee shops than I would say the average city that size. And they have a couple very, I would say, high quality coffee shops. Just to give you a kind of a scope of the scene in Tulsa, you have Nordagio's, which I believe was kind of the first in that the wave that started there, and now they have I believe four or five locations now with Nordagio's, and then you have a couple that were offshoots of Nordagio's that were actually they were helped. The setup was actually helped by the owner of Nordagio's, and you have like Shades of Brown. I believe there's Cherry Street Coffee House, a couple others.
And then you have Double Shot Coffee, which is, I think, the newest or one of the newer members on the scene there. And that's with Brian. And they're just, he roasts his own and is doing real great things there. So I'm going to delve right into the reviews. And I would, you know, it's kind of funny. You don't think of Tulsa, Oklahoma as a coffee destination, but you could easily spend a day, 2 days, traveling around that city and checking out coffee, which is kind of unusual for a city in the Midwest, especially of the size of Tulsa. So I'm going to start out with Tulsa coffee scene, Nordagio's. The first one's at Nordagio's on the Riverwalk. I wrote here, well, had nice latte art and was served in-house cup. The shot had a dark roast tinge to it. But milk and texture was good. But they used Hershey syrup. Why? I don't know. Although it was good enough to drink again. So 4.2 beans. And that's saying something if you use the Hershey's chocolate in your mocha latte. Next up is Double Shot Coffee Company. That's Brian's place there. And I wrote here, this drink was a treat. Served in-house cup, good-looking latte art. The balance of the drink was pretty much spot on. And I wrote finally because I had drank a lot of bad coffee that week. I wrote here, someone who's not afraid to let their customers taste the espresso in their mochas, which is true. Good chocolate and tasty espresso, worth the trip. So 4.8 beans. On that drink, 4.8 beans. Next up is, I'll turn here on the page, there we go, the Coffee Bank Cafe. And these are on Broken Arrow. It's in the Tulsa vicinity, metro area. Southeast of Tulsa is the Broken Arrow area. Coffee Bank Cafe. I wrote here, after watching a 4-second shot pull, I knew this drink was destined for disaster. Pretty much everything was wrong. Sadly, wouldn't drink again. So I gave that one bean. And I think I gave that one bean for them remembering all the ingredients in that drink. Next up in Broken Arrow is Rocket Brothers Coffee. Now this place was like a drive-through, more of a drive-through stand type place. So this, you know, it was kind of interesting ordering on the motorcycle. I usually end up walking up to the, which they kind of look at you funny when a person walks up to a drive-through window, but hey, on a motorcycle, I haven't figured out how to carry the coffee and drive at the same time. So, I wrote here, typical, sweet tooth coffee drink. Chocolate tasted like hot cocoa mix served with, auto whipped cream, could hardly taste the espresso, wouldn't drink again, 2.2 beans. Next up is Stonewood Coffee and Tea, and these, I think, are the newest players on the scene there in Broken Arrow, and a nice little place next to a music store and a strip mall. They're starting to do good things with coffee. I believe they were set up by the roastery, helped them get going there. They had a four station Simonelli machine, and offering some single origin coffees on drip. But I wrote about their mocha latte here. I wrote, I had high expectations for this, but it was served all to go cup. Decent foam, some espresso taste, but was covered by the average chocolate. I would give it another chance. So 3.8 beans on that. Next up is up in Owosso now, which is north of Tulsa, still in the metropolitan area of Tulsa, but north of Tulsa, Coppertown Coffee. And they are also a drive-through kiosk type place. Right here, this drink was more of a hot chocolate with coffee flavoring, just very sweet, pretty much no foam, definitely on the watery side. Wouldn't drink again. 2.4 beans. Also in Owosso is Camille's Sidewalk Cafe. Camille's is, you'll see, it's a chain. It's kind of along the lines of a Panera with a different color scheme on there. And I wrote about this drink. This is probably one of the worst I've ever tasted. This foul-tasting brown liquid. Man, I was pretty upset on this one. This foul-tasting brown liquid should be ship ballast instead of it being pawned off as coffee. Served all as a go cup, barely average foam, or barely any foam, average on chocolate, taste was burnt, bitter, and just undrinkable espresso. So I gave it 0.7 beans. So pretty nasty stuff. Next up is another Nordagio's location up there in Owosso. And the main feature of this location, they have a 5-station La Marzocco Linea machine, which it's one of the few in existence. And it's, if for nothing else, I would go there to see the five group La Marzocco Linea. But in any case, I wrote on the drink here, very decent drink, have served served in-house cup, nice foam and latte art. The chocolate seemed about average, mouthfeel was good. It could have used a little stronger espresso in the balance. I'd drink again, 4.3 beans. Okay, next up, back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is Cherry Street Coffee House. I wrote here, and it's a little place that used to be under a different name. If you Google it, I think it'll come up as like some, like the coffee, I don't know, it won't come up as Cherry Street Coffee House, but if you go on Cherry Street, you'll find it's the only coffee house on there. First impression, nice latte art, decent taste, all around served in-house cup, nice tight foam, average chocolate taste, and could have used a little more espresso presence, but overall nice drink. Would drink again, 4.4 beans. And that wraps it up for the Tulsa, Oklahoma coffee scene. So yeah, it's an exciting place to visit, definitely more than your average town for sure. Yeah, so that wraps it up for this week. Next week, upcoming events, gonna be a Seattle is gonna be featured next week, my Seattle trip. And we're gonna get to sit down and talk with Ray of Cafe Vita. A lot of goods. If you ever wondered about coffee and fair trade, direct trade, all that kind of stuff, we talk about that. So a lot of good coffee information, and we were talking as we were sitting on coffee. So, you know, I always say there's nothing better than drinking coffee when talking about coffee. So we actually went one step further and we're sitting on coffee. Lots of coffee, hundreds of pounds of coffee beans. So good stuff. You want to tune in next week to check that out. And that's about it for this week. So I want to send a special thank you to Blueberry Network. That's BLUBRRY.com. Send a thank you for letting this podcast be part of their network. And also, if you want to write in, leave any comments. I always enjoy feedback from people out there. You can send an email to bestmochalatte@gmail.com. Or you can check out the website where I always, for this podcast, where I always put up a picture and such. And there's a link to the Flickr page where you have pictures of Circus Coffee. If you don't know what Circus Coffee is, go check it out. Or Google Circus Coffee. Go to circuscoffee.com. You can go to www.bestmochalatte.podomatic.com. And that will take you to the homepage for this podcast. So that wraps it up for this week. I'm going to leave you with a new song from Mod Dog. I hope you enjoy. I'm going to call it, what will I call it this week? I'm going to call it, we got winter quarters coming up pretty soon. So I'm going to call it Pre-Winter Quarters Blues for this week. And so until next week, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.